I had you turn to Exodus chapter 14 because this is December the 2nd. And this year's about done. We're gonna move into the next year pretty quick. So I thought about tonight and a little challenge to just those that are here about going forward for the Lord, you know, trying to stay in there. Keep going. And while I'm on it and thinking about it, and you're turning to Exodus chapter 14, I see a nice looking thermometer over there. And I think, ain't we going to try to raise some money around here for building? Yeah, and so that's coming. That thermometer's there. One of these days, Pastor is going to challenge us, I think, and we're going to have to cough up some bucks and get this thing done. Say, what is it? We're going to move forward. We're going to get her done. We get the parking lot paved. We're going to get the trees planted. And we're going to get done and move on. We've already moved forward a little bit. Christian school back there. You've got an addictions program. And we got a little Bible Institute going. We'll see how far that goes. What is that? That's moving forward. Moving on for God. Say, well, what do you think the future holds? I have no idea. And I'm not a good visionary, but I know this, I like to stay busy, and I like to stay doing the things of God. I like to do the things that pleases God, and the things that He asked us to do in this book. I like to be addicted to the things of God, and the Word of God, and the work of God, and I just think that'd be pleasing. Exodus chapter 14, you'll see in verse 13, Moses here is challenging the children of God to follow him. He's already delivered them from Egypt, and he's already into the wilderness a few days. And you know, when they come up out of Egypt, you realize when they come out of Egypt, the Jews aren't the only people that came with them. You realize that? Realize there was a mixed multitude. And you read over in the New Testament that he's referred to that church in the wilderness, or that word church means assembly, called out assembly. They were called out of Egypt, but in that assembly that followed Moses out into the wilderness came a mixed multitude out of Egypt. I don't know if you realize that, but you had a bunch of Egyptians in there, and what they did, they seen all the miracles that God done. They're down in Egypt, and they said, man, we ain't staying here. We're moving out with you. We don't care where you're going. We're going with you. And did you get that part over there where the children of Israel borrowed from all the Egyptians that didn't go, borrowed their gold and borrowed their silver and borrowed all that stuff? Man, they were loaded when they went out of there. Say, where were they going to spend it? They weren't going to spend it at the Walmart because there wasn't nothing out there where they was going. So, but they come up out of there, and they're moving on. And you know, when you serve God and you try to go for God, you're going to hit an obstacle here and there. Something's going to get in your way, and it's going to keep you from moving forward for the Lord. And you know whole well that God told you to move forward, and He wants you to move forward. He wants you to keep on going for God and taking those spiritual steps and those steps of faith that only please Him, doesn't please anybody else, but pleases Him. And you actually get where God wants you to go. But obstacles come along. We're going to pick it up here in chapter 14 of Exodus, about verse 13. Let me read two or three verses. He says, Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Well, that's a lot, huh? Say, why? Well, they're out there, and they're up against the Red Sea, and the Egyptian army is behind them. They're doing a little moving of their own. And they're going to annihilate the children of God. And they got the Egyptian army behind them, the Red Sea in front of them, and no place else to go, and nowhere to where they don't know what they should do, what should happen. And they're in a predicament, kind of like situations we get into sometimes. We don't know what to do. We know we got to go forward for God, and we got to trust God by faith. We know we got to obey, and we got to mind His word. But when that obstacle comes before us, whatever that thing is, we're going to have a Red Sea miracle if we're going to go forward. Watch what he says. He said, "He here unto the people," he said, "fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptian whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever." Does he know something I don't know? "The Lord shall fight for you, and he shall hold your peace." Moses, you've been preaching that ever since we left down there. You still going to hold to that tune? Then he says, "The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Wherefore criest thou unto me?" And I guess Moses getting a little upset himself and got down and began to squall and bawl a little bit. Isn't that something when we come up against something in our life, we'll begin to get all broken up about it and do a little crying about it, a little weeping about it, and come up before the Lord about it, and that's what's going on. And Moses, he says, "The Lord, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward." And there's a little phrase that shows up, and I can see Moses. "Lord, there ain't no place to go." Watch now. "But lift thou up thy rod." God gives him some direction. And he says, "And stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it." Now, nothing like that's ever happened before on the face of the earth. And I don't hear that anything since then except the crossing of the Jordan River had happened when the priests had the Ark of the Covenant and come up to the River Jordan there. And the people had to be so far back, but they'd already knew that if God said it, it's going to happen. He said, "When their feet hit the water will pile up on both sides and you can cross over." And it was in flood time, so it did happen again. And here, though, we're at the Red Sea. We're not quite up to the promised land yet. "Lift that rod up, Moses, stretch it out, thine hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea." I want you to look at those two little words there. Go forward and go on. I think God wants us to go forward. I sure don't think he wants us to go backwards. I don't think there's any excuse for the child of God to go backwards on God. He ought to always be going forward for the cause of Christ. Say, "Well, preacher, what if there's a situation or a circumstance that comes up?" Well, let's get through the Word of God here and see what we can do to keep going forward in spite of the obstacles, in spite of how we feel, in spite of what somebody says, in spite of what an army behind you threatening to kill you has to say about it. Let's see what God has to say about it. Shall we pray? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this addiction I have to the word of God. Thank you, Lord, for your spirit and that addiction I have for your spirit to have his way and the Holy Spirit to do his perfect work. God, may we go forward, but help me tonight as I try to bring the message that you've shown me and help it help others that they might be encouraged in spite of the obstacles, in spite of the odds, to go forward. It's in Jesus' name I pray, and help that one that's nearest hell, if there's a need for salvation, that they come to thee tonight. In Jesus' name I pray and ask it. Amen. So as we look here, they're getting ready to cross over. And God's been always telling folks, "Yeah, no, you can do it. Go ahead on. You can get her done. You can go on." And I mean, this is early in the Word of God. It's in the book of Exodus. But there's story after story after story in the Word of God where God would take just a few folks and go out and whip the enemy, and there'd be hundreds of thousands of them. And I think for a moment about Gideon and that army that went with him, and he had a lot of men with him, and they weren't all right. And he had quite an obstacle, the Midianite army there. Looked like grasshoppers down there. He said, now God said, "I got a plan." You know, God's always got a plan. And if we'll pay attention to the plan of God, we'll find out that God makes a way through his plan to get the obstacle out of the way and for us to move forward. And so Gideon, he ends up with 300 men out on the hills at night. And they got a lamp, and they got a light in the lamp. and he tells them at a certain time to break the lamp, which causes a great bunch of noise, and all the lights to shine, and it put the fear of God in the whole Midianite army. And with just a few soldiers, 300 faithful men that were faithful to the cause of God, that were addicted to the things of God, that wanted to obey the word of God and follow the man of God, there was a great victory wrought that day, and the Midianites were destroyed. They fought among themselves and killed themselves, and Gideon wrought a great victory that day and was able to go forward. Now we could go on and on with those kind of stories, but let me pay attention here to the word of God. I just believe tonight God wants us to go forward for his glory and honor in these few days we have left. You say, well, what do you mean, preacher, when you say go forward? Accomplish something more for God. Do just a little more for the sake of Christ. Don't sit down and say, well, I've done enough. Don't sit down and quit on God and say, well, I put my time in. Nobody's ever put their time in. If you're still here loving to breathe the air that Brother Lonnie sung about tonight, then we still have something new. And I believe that we ought to go forward, whether it be going out and telling others about Christ, whether it be teaching more Bible, whether it be doing whatever we do to reach more people for the cause. That's the business of the church, and we need to go forward in the things that God asked the church to do. And I want you to see here tonight, I want you to see the man of God. If I didn't draw your attention to anything else, God has always called men to lead his people. And here in the word of God, you see the man Moses. I actually have a verse someplace. I guess I should go get it. But I draw your attention to the man of God. The man of God in verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Moses was the leader, the deliverer. He was, if you please, the pastor of that great assembly of people that were out there. And although it was a mixed multitude, he had everything from an unbeliever to a believer, I guess, but they were his people, and he was leading them, and they had come up on this great obstacle. He was the one in charge. So we too must know who's in charge. And in the church, it's the pastor, amen. You know, in the presidency, it's the president. But I'm talking church stuff, you know, down at the plant, it's the boss, amen. Whoever owns it or runs it. But I'm in terms here of the church tonight. If the church is going to go forward, I would always draw your attention to the leadership of the church or the pastor of the church. He's the under-shepherd of the shepherd, and that's our pastor. We've got a leader. Now, granted, Moses was the man of God and fulfilled the commission of God and the call of God when God called him. Of course, he had some obstacles of his own that he had to get through, but now he has the children of Israel up there. But I draw your attention to the man of God, and if we as a church are going to serve God, we'll have to follow the man of God. Amen? Say, well, I don't like the pastor. Get in line. There'll be 150 out of about 200 that will have something bad to say about any pastor, any place on the face of the earth. My daddy used to say this, if you can't say something good about a person, don't say nothing. Now, he had some pretty peculiar ways, but he had some right sayings. And I'll tell you what, I think about that. And my dad and I, we were not close. I love my dad. He was my dad. I learned more about him in the last couple years than I ever did. But I know this. He was still my dad, and I loved him. You know, that's how leadership is. You can love them or hate them, but they're still the leader. Amen? Huh? What are you going to do with that? You're going to do what God says. So I draw your attention to the man of God who represents the pastor of God. He's the God-called man. He's the God-ordained man. He's the God-led man. He's the man that out on the mountain was there at the burning bush, and God spoke to him and said, look, this is what I want you to do. You weren't there. I wasn't there. Nobody else was there, but him and God was there. So I would have you notice the man of God tonight. Oh, that Moses, he killed a guy. He sure did. And he probably wanted to kill a few more before he was done. If you let folk, well, let me move on. I want you to notice the man of God. And the man of God has to lead the church of God. And that's why the church is set up the way it is. What I do with that? I got 3 bottles of water up there. It is. I'll go back after it in a minute. I'm a little dry tonight. But God, he's a God called in. There's a great motive, our Savior. There's a great mind. And God works with the heart and the minds of the called men of God or with your pastor. There's great men to follow. So, well, I don't know. That's how God set it up. Take it up with God. Let me give you this. Did you ever notice here now we're looking at them? Look here in verse 11. Back up a couple verses. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Question. Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Say, what's going on? Well, I'd have to draw your attention to their murmuring. Anytime you've got that many people, you're going to have somebody questioning what's going on. There might be a supernatural power at work. And if the only person that might know that would be Moses, and I don't know if he actually was believing it right there because he was down on his face crying before the Lord. But man, the leader's just a man just like anybody else, and he has to humble himself before God and get a hold of God and say, God, what am I doing? I don't know what I'm doing, but you know what I'm doing. You call me, show me what I'm doing. Yeah. In spite of the murmuring, in spite of the complaining, in spite of the belly aching, in spite of the finger pointing, and I just don't know what he's thinking. I don't know, man. I just don't. Do you ever notice, man? Oh, we don't hear any murmuring around here, do we? They did there. And I guess Moses could have told them, okay, here's your options. Start swimming if you're on your own. Or go back to that army and they'll probably cut your head off for you. But when you notice the murmuring, verse 12, is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptian? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptian than that we should die in the wilderness. So the children of Israel always murmured. There are always those that complain. No, I wouldn't care if they was drinking out of a crystal cup. They'd be complaining about something. Say, what is that? That's human nature. Old school human nature is what that is. Look at the message. Verse 13, I read it to you in our text. Stand still. What? What? We can't stand still. They're right on our heels. We can hear the horses neighing. We can hear the bucklers, and we can hear their harnesses, and we can hear their artillery. We can hear them back there. They're on our heels, and we can hear the lap of the sea and the roar of the sea in front of us. We can't stand still. But the message from Moses, from God to Moses, was stand still, watch now, and see the salvation of the Lord. In other words, God's got it all figured out. Yeah. Now, let me put it in park a minute here. Get a drink. Yeah. Isn't it funny? You've come from 1969, all the way through life, all them obstacles, all that trouble, all them sicknesses, and all them catastrophes, and all them wrecks, and that building that burned. You're clear up here to 2018, almost 2019, and you say, we're going to pave the parking lot. Somebody, I just don't think we can do that, preacher. That's an impossibility. There's no way. It takes money. Duh. Yeah. What do you think that thermometer's for? And the next thing is how did you get where you're at through all the cancer and the sicknesses and the heartaches and the dead kids and all the burnings and fires and the tornadoes and all the other stuff from 1969? How did you get here? By the grace of God. Then should we stop where we're at and allow the armies of the world to overtake us? Should we march into the Red Sea without the direction of the Word of God and be drowned like a bunch of... Well, don't answer that. No. We should go forward at the bidding of God. He said the message was, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Something's about to happen. Something's going to transpire. Somehow we're going to get through this thing. They didn't know exactly how. We may not know exactly how. But God said, I'm going to make a way because I want you to go forward. Now, if you look... They never did quit murmuring, by the way. But here, when you look at this and see that message, then in verse 15, look down there. This is kind of an expository message of the text here. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. I can see Moses. Lord, you got me out of that little murder scrape over there when I killed that guy, that Egyptian, and buried him in the sand. You got me out of that. You got me out of Pharaoh's house. And well, let me back up, Lord. When they were killing all the babies, you protected me there and supernaturally put me in a basket and put me in a river where all the alligators were and everything else was, and then had one of Pharaoh's daughters or one of those women find me and then get my own mother to nurse me. Man, you are a miracle working God. What you got up your sleeve, Lord? I know something's going on. So here, once we see the message, God just says, go forward. And by the way, do you know that going forward is still the message for today? It's still going to be the message for 2019. Take your Bible. Now, this is a sidebar, and I won't go too far on it. Let me quote it. You write it down. Here it is for the New Testament church, and it's found in Mark 16:15. And he said unto them, go. You say, what is that? That's the Great Commission. The church is still to go. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That message has never changed. God always wanted us to go forward. Listen, the word forward in the Bible is mentioned 48 times. Go forward is mentioned once or twice in the Word of God. But God has always wanted us to go forward for His glory, His honor. And even in the church today, we're to go forward. Go ye into all the world. We've got business to do, amen? So we've seen God's man. God's ready to move now. And Moses, the man of God, was ready to cause them to go forward when he said, stand still, speaking to the children of Israel, they go forward. There was about to be a great movement. You know, when something great is about to happen, people get excited. Some people become afraid. Some people don't know how to be. But boy, when you've served God for a little while and you've seen Him do this and do that and take care of that and took care of this and took care of that issue and those problems and these things over here and these over here, and there's so many things that fortify our faith that we're encouraged to quit believing like the world, quit doubting like the world, and start just trusting God for the next step. So here, there's a great movement, and preceded by a great cry, a great fear, and a great faith. If you're to go forward, you will have to move. Listen, you can't move. You can't go forward without making some kind of a move. You can't go forward by turning around and going back. You can't go forward by sitting down where you're at and not doing anything. Listen, you can't go forward by doing your own thing. You're going to have to do what God wants you to do. There's a movement at hand, and brother, if you want to be a part of that movement, listen to the man of God, obey the word of God, and when he says go forward, go forward. Amen. Don't come New Year's. If I'm preaching New Year's, I'm going to preach the same thing. No, just kidding. Just kidding. I'll find something new. But I believe he wants us to go forward. Now watch. There's a miracle. In verse 21, and Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, just like the Lord said. And the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night. I told you the Lord had a plan. And made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. Now, there was a great movement among the people. Then when Moses gave the message and said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, and then just minded the Lord and stretched out that staff over the Red Sea, he'd be like Elijah on the Mount Carmel. Okay, Lord, answer by fire. And the Lord did, just like here, and the Lord did. You say, what is that? That's a miracle. That's what that is. Oh, they've tried to explain it away and say that they waded across at the shallow end of the Red Sea. That's just not true. A friend of mine that was in the Navy a long part of his life has been over there in that very place. And he said, listen, where they say it happened, where the Bible account is, it couldn't dry up enough to wade across. It's too deep. We had military ships there in that part of the Red Sea. He says, I'm telling you, God had to split that thing and divide that thing just like the Bible says, and then they went across on dry ground. It's a miracle. We have a miracle working God, and I want to be on the going forward team for the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's going to work a miracle for you and me, amen, for our church. He's a miracle working God. You know, miracles still happen. People get saved. That's a miracle. I got saved. That's a miracle. You got saved. That's a miracle. And you got saved. That's a Red Sea miracle. God is able. He's an able God. That wind thing, and I won't go the Brian McBride route on you with the winds out of Job 1:19, where the wind blew in from the wilderness. But this wind here blew in from the east, and it was God's wind. You know, the wind is a picture of the Holy Ghost of God. And you see the Lord working in tandem with the Holy Spirit of God. If wind is a type of the Holy Spirit of God, and he blew from the east wind all that night and divided the Red Sea. And look, there's a lot of people getting ready to cross over. And you've got, what, 200,000 people, something like that? Plus all the people that came out with them, and they're going to cross over on dry ground. And the commentators say they did it in order. They just didn't charge it. You know, like people do at a rock concert, you hear about it, and they get trampled and killed, you know, something like that. Say they went over in order and went across that thing. Now, I don't know how long it took them to get across there, but it took them a pretty good while. And you know what? Not one person died crossing over. They didn't have to stop anywhere and bury anybody. But believe me, they knew what burying was like, because a little later on, they had to bury a bunch of people because they sinned against God and the serpents came in, so on and so forth. And they spent more time burying folks than they did serving God. But here, as they crossed dry ground, it was a miracle of God. Nobody died. You know, the old people crossed as well as the young people. You know, the little the young people crossed. As they said, oh, my baby's too young to make that trip. If God split the Red Sea, I think I'd start marching. Isn't this the same people whose shoes never wore out and whose clothes never wore out on their backs? I'm talking about a miracle working God for those people that will follow God and do what the Word of God says under the leadership of a man of God. And listen, we can go forward as a church if we'll learn from the Old Testament example, from the Old Testament how that Moses simply minded God with the Egyptian army behind him and the Red Sea in front of him. Now he had a course of action. Now the Red Sea had split. Now his eyes were dim and he was bold with the faith of God that filled him from the very tip of his head to the very sole of his foot. And he says, we're crossing over. And that's a miracle. When I looked at that, the world, the weaknesses, the waitings, all the things. You know, I do want to point up a mistake here. Look, if you would, at verse 21. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. Don't make the mistake the world makes. Say, what are you talking about? Well, the Egyptian army was behind him. They got the bright idea that they could get in on their miracle. Didn't work out so well for them. When they got in there, the wheels came off the chariots. Disarray everywhere you looked. White, great white sharks staring out of those. No, it's just. That water come crashing down. That Egyptian general, that Pharaoh knew he'd made the mistake that's going to put him into hell. So don't make the mistake of the world and try to ride in on somebody else's miracle. Get saved yourself. Get right with God yourself. And God will let you have a miracle. So there's some mistakes that were made not by Moses and the men of God, but by the Egyptian army. Let me close with this thought. Verse 31, and Israel saw the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. That'll get your attention. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Moses' stock just went up. 450 years later, David is still talking about the Red Sea crossing. And I would point your attention to the memorial of this great miracle that God has wrought here in the desert for his people. And 450 years, David's still talking about it. 5,000 years later, I'm talking about it, still talking about it tonight, still reading it in the Word of God, still being challenged by it in the Word of God. So I know we have a miracle working God. David said this. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and he made the waters to stand as a heap. Psalm 78:13. He said there in verse 40 of that same chapter, how oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Oh, the Lord knew what he had there, but he still made a way for them in the wilderness. David was moved by this great troop. He said, yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Verse 52 in that same chapter, but made his own people to go forth like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. And he led them on safely so that they feared not, but the sea overwhelmed their enemies. Listen, God knew they weren't all perfect. God knew they were some doubters. God knew it was a mixed multitude, but God still loved them and still cared just like he does the church tonight. Our church may not not be perfect. Our pastor may not be perfect. I'm sure not perfect tonight, but I'm glad I'm on the winning side, and I want to go forward with the people of God and the men of God and the church of God. I'm moving forward, amen. You say, why? Because God blessed them, and he took care of them and took care of their enemy. I like that. I like that. This thing was a memorial unto them. It's a memorial. I looked at that, and he brought them to the border of the sanctuary, even to the mountains which his right hand had purchased. Say, what's that? God has a destination in mind for this church. It hasn't reached its potential. It may be one of the last fundamental churches in this age till the Lord comes back. You know, there's not a whole lot of churches out across the land that believe the book. Amen. But I'm glad we're one of them. I'm glad we're one of them. If I could get you to see, you say, well, what did they see? What caused them to go over? Well, I've often thought, I wonder if there was anything, when they started out across that Red Sea and that water had split, and man, they got their staffs, they got their carts, they got their animals, and they're headed across that thing, and they're looking, and up ahead, way off in the distance, is a bright light. Say, oh, Brother Phil, you're stretching it. Well, I don't know. He said he led them by a cloud in the daytime and led them by a pillar of fire at night. They could have saw us. I don't know. But I'll just bet you there was an incentive. And I like to think as a church, as I cross through the enemy's territory, and we're in the enemy's territory, but as God makes a way for us to be a church, and to move forward for his glory, I want you to focus tonight on something. I want you to see something. And I think what I'd have you to see is the cross. Jesus and the cross. When I draw a picture for this message, I will draw the Red Sea split open. I will draw Moses, the man of God, with a staff. I'll draw all the people coming down into that vast chasm on dry land. And way at the end, I'll draw a little tiny red cross that only lights up in black light. But not only does a little red cross light up in black light, a great big old cross jumps out. And brother, if we could keep our eyes on what he did on the cross, we could keep our focus on what he did and the finished work of Calvary, I don't think we'd have any problem going forward for the glory of God, because it's his glory that he died on the cross. It's for his glory that he calls men and saves sinners. It's for his glory that I'm focused tonight. It's not for my fellow laborers. It's for my Savior and what he did on Calvary. It's a memorial. If, you know, I sometimes like to look back, and at the time when I got saved, that's kind of a memorial to me. I get to look back and think, man, I got saved. I didn't know what was going on. I knew I was lost. I knew I was headed for hell. You say, how'd you know all that so early? Well, you remember how that 8-9-year-old boy seen Santa Claus this morning? On the roof. Well, isn't it funny when you're that age, you're tender age? I'm just relating to that. When that preacher come down and preached on hell, I'm glad that my dad took me to the revival meeting. He did. And he had us all sitting over on this side. And man, that old guy come down out of there, and he had a big old long finger, old white gray hair. He's pointing like that, going like that, pointing right at me, I thought. He said, you're going to hell, you're going to hell. If you don't get saved, you'll go to hell. Man, that got a hold of my heart. Then he'd plead, Christ died for you, died on the cross. He paid sin's debt. So whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed him should not perish but have everlasting life. And I mean, he preached. That's the only verse of scripture I had committed to memory. So it God used it and worked on me. And I got home, and I didn't know what to do. You don't know what to do at 12 years old. You just know something's going on. And then that next morning, I told my mom I need to get saved. I heard her telling Debbie, my sister, how to get saved. And Debbie was checking up, making sure. And I just come on down, push that old stair door open. We had one of them stair steps come down like this, then turn and went down two more steps, and then the door opened. Well, I was sitting right there with the door on a crack listening. My mom was cooking breakfast. And she told Debbie, she said, let me get my Bible. And, oh, man, I come down out of there, and I said, me too, Mom. Hey. Me too. Sit down there. My mom didn't bat an eye. Got her Bible, put it down there in front of us. Told Debbie to read a couple verses, Romans 10, 9 and 10. Yeah, that's what I did, Mom. That's what I did. Well, if you didn't do that, you need to do that. And she looked at me and said, how about you? Oh, I didn't do nothing. What am I supposed to do? I was just under conviction. See, if you don't get under conviction, I don't think you get saved. No conviction, no conversion. I don't want to go there. She said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord God and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. See what that says right there? I said, yeah, but who is that? Well, that's you. Watch this, she said. She wiped her hands on her apron. That if Philip shall confess with his mouth the Lord God, believe in his heart that God hath raised him from the dead, he shall be saved. I said, that's me? She said, yeah, look right here. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's you. You want to go to heaven? Trust Christ. How? Well, you want to get saved? Yeah. Just bow your head. Tell God you're a sinner and trust him. Now, what's a 12-year-old say? I bowed my head. I was in tears. My sister was in tears. I said, God, I'm a sinner. I want you to save me. Will you save me? Just simple. Just simple. Just a child. And Debbie said, Philip got saved. Philip got saved. That's pretty good. Philip got saved. Went back upstairs, told my brother, I got saved. He said, you what? I said, I got saved. And see, you didn't get saved. I said, you're going to hell. You're going to hell. Something like that. He looked at me and he said, I am? I said, yeah. You got to get saved. 3 or 4 days later, he got saved. Hey. You know how kids are. That's why when my dad told me, study, to so thou shalt approve unto God. Not unto men, unto God. A workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, that verse has been very powerful in my life. It's addicted me to the study, the teaching, and the preaching of the word of God and telling others about Christ. How about you tonight? Are you moving forward? Are you sitting still? I want to give you 2 principles and I'm done. 2 principles that you can use to go forward. You are? What are they? Very simple. Obey God. Say, boy, that is simple. Yeah, just obey God and trust his word. Psalms 119, 105 says, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. You want to go forward and you can't see where you're going? That book right there will shine all the light you need on that thing. You addict yourself to the word of God. He'll give you a path. He'll give you light from the word of God. And 2 principles, obey God and trust his word and do what it says. You can go forward. Let's stand for a word of prayer. Maybe this morning, maybe this evening, you're struggling with doing anything for God. Well, don't struggle any longer. He took that whole mixed multitude out of there. You know, some of those Egyptians got right, got saved, started believing like they should, done what they should, and they became Jews. You know, tonight, if you're not saved, you can get saved, just like I got saved. But trusting Christ, first, realizing you're a sinner. Second, but just saying, God, save me, I'm a sinner. Then you can move forward. You will have moved forward by faith, by that principle, those two principles I gave you, obeying God and doing what the Word of God says. Tonight, let's have a great year this year. Let's go forward for Christ. Let's challenge one another. Let's exhort one another to love and good works. Whatever the need is, if you need to pray tonight, it's just church, it's just an old-fashioned altar. Thank God for it. What are we going to sing tonight, Brother Jeff? 324.